What a joy it is for me to wish all of you a blessed Easter. So many of you have joined us for this very solemn vigil mass for Easter. It's the holiest night of the entire church year. And what a blessing it is for us to be with you this evening and you to be with us. You know, we're told that when there are difficulties and crises, often we begin to think about deeper things. We think about meaning in our life, for example. I recall that it was in 1946 that Dr. Viktor Frankl, the founder of the psychoanalysis logotherapy, wrote his book called Man's Search for Meaning. Now remember, Dr. Frankl had the great challenge of living in a Nazi concentration camp. And he came to realize that when people have meaning in their life, when they have something around which to live and for which to live, not only can they survive, they can thrive. And so it is that tonight, it's about meaning. The meaning of life, the meaning of the universe. This is not a science class, but in many ways, we are addressing what might be a deeper truth. And that is, why did all of this creation come about? And what happened that so much evil spread throughout the world and so much destruction? Last evening, many of you joined us for the Good Friday liturgy, and Father Michael very beautifully talked about the two gardens, the Garden of Gethsemane and the Garden of the Empty Tomb. We'll be reviewing and visiting them again tonight, as you've heard from the readings. But there was a third garden. We call it the Garden of Eden. Some describe that Adam and Eve, the human beings who began the life that we now have inherited, through God's grace, were created along with all the splendor and beauty of all creation. And we know from the book of Genesis, not a scientific explanation, but even more deeply, a reason. God created the world and said it is good. He created the world and most especially human beings with a great dignity. And it is that dignity that we celebrated in that first reading of sacred scripture. It's a dignity that we reclaim tonight, that was elevated by Christ in whom we are baptized. All six readings after that are leading us to that Garden of Gethsemane and the empty tomb. We hear of the loyalty and faithfulness of Abraham prefiguring the death of Jesus when he thought he was to give up his only begotten son. We hear of the gift of Moses, who led his people from slavery into freedom, recalling the freedom that is ours in Christ. And then we hear from the beautiful prophets, from Isaiah and Baruch and Ezekiel. And they tell us about the richness of God's desire to love us and to have us thrive. Ezekiel even says that God wants to pour in us a new spirit, to give us a new heart. What great gifts. And then, of course, we hear the beautiful words of St. Paul to the Romans, in which he says, in Christ who is now risen, in our baptism, all these gifts have been given to us. We now need to receive them. You know, after the homily, we'll have the wonderful opportunity to renew our baptismal promises. We do it every Easter. I have to think about the people who have been preparing and had their hearts set on being baptized and being received into the church tonight. The first Sunday of Lent, we had a full church at St. Bernadette of people who were coming into the church. And of course, because of the pandemic and the need for social distancing, that is delayed but not forgotten. They will be received into the church. And if any of you are listening, we pray in gratitude for you this evening. As you renew your baptismal promises, recall that the first promise is from Christ Himself. You heard it in the gospel passage. Do not be afraid. The gospel passage, of course, begins with Mary Magdalene going to a tomb that she did not know would be empty. The empty tomb stands as a historical event that the resurrection of Jesus Christ really and truly happened. And we believe that even though the gospel describes her as being both fearful and overjoyed with a swirling of emotions that perhaps you and I feel tonight, we know that she heard the message of Jesus Christ and was called to run and tell the disciples, and for the last 2,000 years, we've been running and telling others the good news of Jesus Christ. What's the good news? That God loves you so deeply. He has created you with great dignity. It's a dignity that you are called to reclaim tonight. That Christ, His only begotten Son, came to save you and to save me. To give every ounce of His blood so that we might live. We know what it means to sacrifice for another person, and our efforts to serve others pale when we think of the innocent one, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and died for our salvation. And then the third of the mysteries, that Christ who died is risen. He is alive. Some might say, well, how does that bring meaning to my life? In September of 1989, I had the sad occasion of the loss of my mother. And as many of you who have lost your loved ones know, that often you choose a special holy card to be given out at visitation and at the funeral mass. And the holy card that I, with my sisters and brother, chose was a card that was from the Eastern Catholic Church, from the Byzantine Rite. It was an icon. And the icon was Jesus rising. However, His hands were outstretched so that people on either side, and I'm thinking my mother, I hope, was one of those, as He rose from the dead, so He lifted up those who were clinging to Him. When He rises, we rise. Darkness and chaos has now been replaced once and for all by the light of Christ. The darkness in your life needs to be replaced by the hopeful light of Christ. The gift of water in baptism, which is the gift of renewal, is your occasion and mine to be renewed in the depths of our hearts, because the God who loves us and His Son who died for us, and His Son has been victorious over sin, darkness, and death. We say, Alleluia. Christ is risen. A blessed Easter.